Hello, everyone, and welcome to Millionaire Mondays. This is the investor edition. While we're going to focus on investing, it's actually agency work with investors. So if you're an agent calling in, I hope you'll get a lot of value. And if you're an investor calling in, I hope you'll get a lot of value, too. My name is Jay Papazan, and I'll be your host. I am co-author of The Millionaire Real Estate Agent and The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, both of them national bestsellers, with my co-authors Gary Keller and Dave Jinks. And we also collaborated for almost 2 years on a project that emerged from The Millionaire Real Estate Investor called Flip, How to Find, Fix, and Sell Houses for Profit, and that was also a New York Times bestseller. Today, we're very happy to have on our call Jeff Reitzel, joining us from Kitchener, Ontario. Jeff, welcome to our call.
Well, thanks for having me, Jay. Appreciate it.
Jeff is a real estate sales office owner. He owns part of one of our Keller Williams market centers. He has a mortgage business, and he's also a key player in his family's real estate sales business. And kind of your specialty in that is kind of the listing side. Is that correct?
That is correct, Jay.
So why don't you, before we just dive in, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about, how long you've been in the business and how you got started and kind of where you are today?
I've been in the business now for almost 10 years. We operated a family real estate practice before our Keller Williams franchise. And more importantly for the listeners, I think I'd like to just talk a little bit about my story and how I got started investing and how it led to real estate investing.
Cool.
So my journey, and this probably takes me back to 14 or 15 years old, working at Wendy's and some of the other odd jobs I had in high school. I was always looking for more out there, and I thought there had to be more than having a 9-to-5 job. So I started investing. Now, I was still working for an employer, but I started investing. At the time, I was probably earning $800 to $1,000 a month while attending school, and I was saving $800 of that. And at the end of my first year, I was 15, and I had $10,000 saved.
Wow.
And that was great. I was quite impressed that I had that. And I started looking at that and said, well, if the market goes up 10% this year, I now have $11,000. And I thought that was also great, but how long was it going to take me to get somewhere? And I felt it was going to take me forever. Remember, at the time, I'm 14 or 15, so waiting until I was 40 or 45 to accumulate wealth seemed like forever at the time.
Wait, hold on. This is insane. You're 14 or 15, and you're already – what? I mean, I love this story. Yeah. What in the world? Did your dad give you a book? What got you thinking about investing and saving your money? Because the discipline it takes to save that huge a percentage of your money when you're that age is huge.
I don't really know what it was that got me started. I don't know what it was.
Wow.
I read back now and I look at journals because I used to keep journals back then.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember any of this because I don't have a memory when I was 10, 11, 12, or 9. And I would read journals where I would go out and I remember some of these stories where I would purchase erasers and then go door to door and sell these erasers to try to increase the value or make a little bit of money. So I don't know what it was that got me started.
You just got an entrepreneurial spirit in the blood. All right.
I think that's what it was. And my father was, the same way. He had an entrepreneurial spirit as well. It's probably where it came from.
Okay. So, all right. I interrupted.
That's okay.
You've saved up for a year. You've got $10,000, turning that into $11,000 through traditional investing. It just didn't seem fast enough. What's next?
It didn't. I kind of mapped that out, and I might be a little off on the numbers here, but I thought if I saved for 40 years, and I was 55 years old now, and I thought that's when most people retire, 55 to 65, I could have around $9 million if the market went up 10 to 12% is probably what I used for a number. Now, that number blew me away. To get to a point where I had $9 million, that was just amazing. I just didn't want to wait 40 years to get there or to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing I stumbled across was leverage investing. Now, I used to skip high school and go to the library and bookstore and read books on finance.
Wow.
So rather than going and playing pool. So it was a little different. I stumbled across this concept of leverage.
Okay.
And I was committing $800 a month into investments. I was comfortable with that. Things were going fine. Was there a better use for that $800? Now, today, if I was fine with that $800 a month, I could probably take out a leverage loan or a mutual fund loan or an investment loan for around $130,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time at 14, the first investment loan I did was probably $2,500.
Okay.
But just to give you the concept here. If I did that same if I put that $130,000 in investment, made monthly payments on it of $800 a month, I would actually only have to make those payments for 25 years rather than 40. So
Right.
At the end of 25 years, that loan would be paid off. Well, in that same 40-year time frame, that would turn into about $13 million versus $9 million for the same amount of money per month, but it would actually cost me $144,000 less because I wouldn't have that last 15 years worth of payment.
And it would happen 15 years sooner.
Correct.
Right.
No, the payments would stop 15 years sooner.
Okay.
But at the end of 40 years, it would be roughly the same amount of money.
Oh, wow.
So this was working great. The downside to it was that I had to make those monthly payments every month. The thought is, there a vehicle out there with this same concept where I can find someone else to make the payment? And I stumbled across real estate.
Wow.
I could actually buy a piece of real estate and ask a complete stranger to make my payments every month, and they would. And it blew me away.
Wow.
So that's how I got into real estate investing.
So how old were you when you bought your first real estate property?
My first investment would be 6 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
So 2002, so not that long ago.
Okay. But you were thinking about it long before. You were like, okay, I need to get into leveraged investing. You got that early.
I did, yes.
Fantastic.
I was also looking at it from a rate of return perspective, too. If I could purchase a piece of real estate for $100,000, and, for example, let's say I put $5,000 down, and the market went up 5%, my rate of return was actually 100%.
Right.
I only put five in, I got five back. So that concept really made sense to me as well.
Yep, absolutely. It's one of the once you get the idea of compounding interest, right, those kind of gains. So
yep.
Even like the 12% on your, they always quote 10 to 12% for the stock market over time. When you watch time do its trick over a large period of time, it amazes you. But the amazing benefit of working in real estate is that you can have $100,000 in property working for you for, $10,000 out of cash.
Yes.
So you get many, many multiples of the benefits.
Now, if you'd like to, Jay, I do this in my investor presentations just to share a real-life example of a property I purchased. This was actually the first property I purchased in 2002.
Okay.
And what that looks like today and what's come of that.
Okay.
So I purchased, my first property was a triplex that I bought in 2002. And I paid $163,000 for this triplex. There might be listeners saying, well, it's 2007 now. You can't get a triplex for under $350,000 in our market. Well, today that triplex would probably be worth $173,000. That's how rough it was. So the value on this type of property really hasn't gone up that much.
Mm-hmm.
I created value there by renovating the unit,
mm-hmm.
which dramatically increased the rent, which turned into greater value. So approximately 19 months later, I was able to refinance that triplex. So I had some equity there.
Right.
I bought it for $163,000, maybe put $20,000 in it, and it appraised at $240,000 or $250,000. Can't remember the exact numbers. So in 2004, I refinanced that up to 75%. Our conventional loans here in Canada at the time were 75%. So
okay.
If you had a 25% equity position, you didn't pay an insurance premium.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a check for $85,000. Now, this was cool. This was tax-free money in my hands that I could do whatever I wanted with.
Wow.
Guess what I did with that $85,000?
Reinvested it, I
bought some more real estate. I purchased three condos in 2004 with that refinance money. And in 2006, which was 2 years later again, I was able to refinance those three condos. Now, the value had only gone up in those condos because the market had gone up.
Right.
I hadn't done any work to any of them. And I got a check for $65,000 this time.
Hmm.
So by purchasing a triplex, I bought three condos and now have another $65,000. With that, I purchased two more condos. And just 2 weeks ago, I refinanced that triplex again that I bought in 2002 and was able to get another
$28,000. Wow.
So the bottom line here is off making one purchase, I own seven homes and nine units from simply making a triplex purchase. I can do the same scenario with other properties that I've purchased as well. It's not a one-time thing.
So you get to, when you refinance, the government sees you as taking on debt, actually. So it's not a taxable event.
Correct.
So you can pull that money out and reinvest it, which is what we hope the only reason you would be doing that for.
Yes.
just out of curiosity, were you managing your cash flow through these refinances? What was did you determine that there was a better use for that money than sitting in that property? And therefore, did that trigger it, or were you waiting for a moment that you could refinance and keep it cash flowing?
Well, the cash flow was never a problem.
Okay.
So on that triplex, for example, that was renting for around $450 or $500 a unit.
Hmm.
And by the time I'd fixed them up, they were between $750 and $800 a unit. So I had another $750, $800 cash flow there right away from day one. So even by increasing that mortgage $80,000, I was still more than covering things.
Fantastic. That's the way we would preach it. Mm-hmm. Negative cash flow is something to be done only under extremely rare circumstances. And when you can do it the way you've described, there's just almost no risk in the game. You're
Correct.
Keeping an equity position, and you also have cash flow. So you're not creating this monthly,
drain. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, those three condos, I will tell you, the first three condos I bought with that first refinance money, they did have a negative cash flow, all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was there were a couple of individuals that owned them. They had owned them for 15, 20 years, had never increased the rent.
Mm-hmm.
I really saw an opportunity there for increase in rent, but more importantly, an increase in value. I could see those were just on the verge of
happening.
Something was going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
So I purposely bought those in a negative cash flow situation. And again, I don't preach that. I'm not saying you should go out and do that, but it can make sense in some circumstances.
You just want to do that in with your eyes wide open.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things we say is you make your money going in.
Yep.
And you just want to be very conscious of the fact that even when you just cannot ultimately count on appreciation, in the short term with some properties, you can absolutely kind of see it happening. If you see that neighborhood reshaping, and you can then do a move like that. With some relative confidence, but you want to do that hesitantly
Yes.
and very carefully.
Very much so. Yeah.
So right now, I went to your website. It's actually jimreitzel.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And just so people understand the spelling of your name, it's the last name that you and your father share. It's Reitzel. If anyone wants to go to that website,
yep.
You're featuring your investor seminars on the homepage.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about that. You're using your knowledge of investing. You just painted a really cool picture for us. How are you using that to grow your sales business?
Well, I guess that's kind of that wasn't actually the reason behind doing the Millionaire Real Estate Investor presentation.
Oh, wow.
It's been a product of it. Our business has increased. The main motive behind doing that was for me to share this information with other people.
Oh, wow. So it's just a passion.
It is a huge passion of mine, real estate investing. So that was the purpose behind it. Now, I was in the beginning doing investor presentations for just my clients.
Right.
Today, the investor presentations that we do, they're open to any client,
mm-hmm.
From any realtor. So all of our real estate agents here and from other companies in our city are encouraged to invite their clients out to this presentation to learn. So we do it on a monthly basis now. We're going to be doing it twice a month very shortly. The demand is that high.
Wow. Talk about bringing value to the relationship. I've talked to a lot of people who, like you, have taken, on millionairesystems.com, one of the things we've made available is a client workshop kit, which has the PowerPoint for teaching the book and all of that. They've adapted it to their needs, and they see it as much as growing their business, bringing value to their relationships over time. They understand how to invest in real estate. They get it. They work on the industry, and they want to make that opportunity open to a lot of people. So
yeah.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
And you truly can change individuals' lives with real estate investing.
Absolutely. I'm just raising my hands here in the office while I'm talking to you because, the story I've told on this call a few times is when I sat down with Gary and Dave to write that book, my head was, how can I increase my salary? I thought that my job was going to be the avenue for my family to build wealth. And it was just a massive aha for me to understand, one, how available real estate is. In the U.S. and Canada, it's really an opportunity that almost anyone can
Yes.
get into. And if they can't, they just need to, quote, fix their credit or save up money so they can get in. It's open to anyone. And it's amazing how quickly people have used it as a way to build their wealth and get into the wealth-building game.
Mm-hmm. And their clients, the realtors on the call, you have clients that most people think about real estate investing. It's a thought that's crossed their mind.
Uh-huh.
They don't have a system or something to follow to be able to do it. And they don't think it's for them.
Right.
It's for people that make big salaries. And we know it's not. It's for the average everyday person.
Uh-huh.
I was on an appointment 2 weeks ago. Sorry. 2 years ago almost now. I just saw the guy again 2 weeks ago. He bought another property.
Mm-hmm.
And I was meeting his father about selling his property, and I got on the topic of real estate investing. And the 19-year-old son was there, so he decided to sit in on the conversation. Well, 2 years later, that son now owns 9 properties.
Wow.
It has changed his life. He has a new focus now for his life in terms of a career, and it's real estate investing.
Maybe you need to write a book called You're Never Too Young to Start Investing.
I'm actually in the process of writing a book right now called The Wealthy Father. So.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's inspirational, man. I love your story because you got it so early. And just for, do you mind sharing your age with everyone on the call?
Not at all. I'm 30 years old. Right?
30 years old. All right. So if people wondered, you know, why it took them so long to invest, you couldn't get a mortgage when you were 15, right?
No.
So you at least waited until you were out of college to get into that game.
Yes.
But still, so you're starting in terms of where most people begin their wealth-building career, you've got a great head start. Mm-hmm. But people can start this late in life or early in life. But I love it when young people, because we know the power of time on a real estate investment.
Yes.
When young people get into this and I know parents who work with college, you know, people who are going to college, their kids, and instead of paying for a dormitory, a premium rent, actually, they'll help their children get into a house and rent rooms out to their roommates.
Yes.
And let them begin that wealth-building process very, very, very early.
And I'd like people to understand, too, that I'm nothing special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really an average guy. When I started investing in real estate, I had no leg up. I didn't have any money given to me. I started with $40,000 of my own money that I had saved and a line of credit of $40,000.
Wow.
And I'm not saying it's good or bad, right or wrong, to use lines of credit to buy property, but that was the capital I had to get started.
There you go.
And I've turned myself into a millionaire real estate investor 5.5 years later, so it can be done.
Very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's interesting, just share with us, because I'm not familiar with the Kitchener market. It didn't sound like you benefited from just crazy appreciation on your triplex. But as the market as a whole, did y'all experience kind of the massive boom market that we did here in the United States, or has it been more of a, you know, every market is different. How would you characterize your market during that period of time?
Yeah, over the last 6 years, we've been anywhere from 4 to 7% increase.
There you go. That's
year over year. So it's
historical average.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little less, and you were still in a short period of time able to become a millionaire investor.
Yes.
That's fantastic. I love that story. So let's talk a little bit. A lot of the people who call in today are real estate salespeople. What would you tell them about getting into investing for themselves? Because it's one of the things that it's a soapbox I'm inviting you to stand on with me, by the way, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I look out and I go to some of our big events where we have, you know, 8,000, 10,000 agents. And only a small percentage of those agents are actually investing in real estate themselves.
Yes.
And there's fear that plays in here. There's a lot of reason that we have, as people who work in this industry, an amazing opportunity because we know the inventory
mm-hmm.
to be investors ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that it is that more people don't get into investing when they work in real estate?
I think people that sell real estate are no different than the people we deal with on a day-to-day basis. We're all just people.
Right.
Some of us just happen to sell real estate.
Hmm.
So I don't know that there's a big difference between real estate agents that don't buy real estate and insurance agents that don't buy real estate.
Huh. I love that answer.
So I don't know the difference. I don't think there's a difference there. It's the same fears that anybody has. I don't want to be a landlord. I'm not going to be able to find tenants. What if property values go down? What if a tenant leaves? What if a window gets broken? All that little stuff seems to get in the way. And that's been one of the great things about the Millionaire Real Estate Investor is it talks a lot about those myths.
Mm-hmm.
It's built into our presentation so people understand it right away.
Thank you for saying that. The first 150 pages we've actually talked about, we wish we could, you know, and it may be that we do it, just take that out. And, you know,
yeah.
Gary was writing that book to his son, by the way. He always imagines, like, who am I writing this for? And as often as not, it's his son. And you can feel that in the tone at times because he really wanted his son to get the opportunity of real estate and also how money is made. I mean, that first 150 pages addresses the fears people have, and it also talks about how wealth is built in really practical, easy-to-understand terms. So I would encourage folks on the call, if you haven't looked at that, to check it out, because some of the you know, in our industry we call it objections that are overcome are just across the board. And I love that you see it as not anything special to our industry. Just people bring their own, you know, their own issues to investing, and they have their own preconceptions about it.
Yes. And as a salesperson, as a real estate salesperson out there, you need to have an understanding of real estate investing.
Mm-hmm.
From a personal business perspective, you need to understand it. It can change your business.
Absolutely. The what inspired us to write that book. I don't know if you've heard the story of Christina Martinez, but when we interviewed top agents across the country for the Millionaire Real Estate Agent, we asked Christina Martinez, who at the time did more GCI than anyone else, how she had built such a huge business. Was she marketing, like so many of the other agents we talked to tens of thousands of people? And her network, her lead generation network, was only about 300 people.
Yes.
And she had set herself up as a wealth builder, someone who would help her clients invest in residential real estate, and had put a system in place. And it was a high-trust relationship that allowed her clients to buy as many as 7 or 8 properties a year from her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very powerful.
Very powerful.
You'll have investors call you. You'll send them a listing, and they'll say, put an offer on that one. And that's the kind of business you can develop and the trust you can develop with investors.
High leverage, right?
They're
when they understand their criteria, especially, in the beginning, the first investment may require the most work.
Yes.
But
once
they get on that path, they become incredibly competent buyers working with you.
Mm-hmm. And they're very loyal people, too.
Yes.
They really are. Once they get that trust relationship with somebody, they'll stick with you.
Well, can you imagine? I mean, if you're doing... you talked about the 19-year-old. Mm-hmm. If that's the kind of results that are coming out of being in relationship with you, that can create amazing loyalty. I mean, over time, you're playing a huge role in their lives. You can actually change their lives in a magnificent way.
Yep. And you will start getting, you really do affect people's lives here. I want people to understand that. You really do. You'll get letters from clients saying how you've changed their life. They've given them hope. It's amazing.
Oh, that's so inspirational.
It is.
I love that. I mean, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people, I have lunches, and because people realize it's one of the, I teach an investment class here in our Keller Williams Realty International office, mm-hmm. because I can personally testify to how it's changed my wife and my life. And you get passionate about it, and people get curious about it. And before you know it, you're getting an email saying, you bought our first property. We're going to live in it, but we bought it as an investment, and in a few years we'll rent it out and buy another one.
Yeah.
And you're just like, they're on their way.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're running to the end of our time here. Jeff, if we could share some wisdom with the investors and the agents, is there anything, any final words of wisdom that you'd like to share with them?
Yeah, maybe just looking at types of properties out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be people on the call right now saying, well, what do I buy? What's better? Should I buy a student property? Should I buy a multiplex? And my answer always to that is it depends. you're going to have to, and different markets are going to be different, but you have to find what works best for you.
Right.
There is no right or wrong. I have investors that all they'll purchase is student properties. I have other investors that all they will purchase is single-family residential bungalows.
Right.
So it depends. Just to give maybe two examples here for people.
Sure.
If we looked at, let's say, a single-family condo, let's say you could pick one up for $120,000, and in my market here, you could. And you were able to rent that condo out for $850 a month. So you have your condo fees, your property taxes, and your principal and interest on your mortgage. That might total, let's say, $750, $775 a month, and you have monthly income of $850.
Mm-hmm.
So there's very little room there. You're just getting by.
Right.
Then let's look at a sixplex. Let's say that multiplex is going for $500,000. And let's say it's renting for $5,000 a month. That's going to give you more cash flow on a monthly basis, so you're going to have more room to play with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also going to have maybe a little bit more work on a sixplex than on a condo.
Right.
A condo is a type of investment that you may have to go over to the property once a year to get more post-dated checks.
Yes.
You receive less cash flow for that, but that might be an easy investment for somebody. Whereas the sixplex might require a little bit more maintenance, either on your part or a property manager's part. Looking at those as well from a price appreciation standpoint, that sixplex, unless it was the type of property that needed work and you can increase value that way, is going to historically increase less in value over time, whereas that single family condo will increase or decrease with the market. It's not the value of that is not based on the rent.
Right.
So a $100,000 condo today could be $140,000 in 2 years. A $100,000 duplex, it's probably not going to be $140,000 in 2 years.
Yes.
So there's pros and cons to both. And there is no right or wrong. You might focus on 20 plexes, and that might be what you purchase. Depends.
It depends on your comfort level as an investor, in terms of how hands-on you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on whether you're ultimately going for equity buildup or cash flow.
Right.
There's so many factors we always like to begin by location. You know, if the investor is going to be the property manager in the beginning, really try to talk to them hard about how far away they want to be from that investment property if they are personally going to manage it, just because they have to show it from time to time.
Yeah.
And so it tends to be very personal. And what the huge thing that became apparent to me in writing the book and as an investor since, as particular and personal as each of our criteria may be, every one of those little niche markets that our criteria describe has its own opportunity.
It does.
And that was just a huge aha for me, Jeff, because I lived in a little neighborhood and I wanted to invest in my neighborhood because I knew it. But it didn't appear on the surface. Everybody said, well, that neighborhood's been done. You can't buy value in Zilker, is where I was. Well, it turns out you could. You just had to focus on it.
Right.
And if you focus on it over time, we've concentrated all of our investing within about a 2 to 3 mile radius in the center of downtown Austin in an area that's highly competitive. We just cut a slightly different niche out of it than our competitors, the other investors looking in that same market. So every market has an opportunity. So real estate can afford you the ability to have very personal criteria, which is a very cool thing.
It is. You're right. Yeah.
Well, Jeff, thanks again for being on our call. I really love it when we can talk to our friends up in Canada and hear about the market up there. Thanks to everyone who joined us on this Millionaire Mondays call. Ostensibly, obviously, focused on the opportunity investing, and also we touched on salespeople on the call, kind of the opportunities to not only become an investor but also work with them. So I want to thank Jeff and his team, and again, you can see him. Jeff, would you mind sharing your web address if anybody would like to follow up with you and have questions about what we've talked about today?
Yeah, no trouble. I'll actually give you my email, and the web is within the email.
Sure.
Jeff, that's J-E-F-F, at Jim Reitzel, JimReitzel.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for offering up your time and your wisdom today. And thanks to everyone who joined us. Please join us again next week at MillionaireSystems.com for another edition of Millionaire Mondays. Until then, this is Jay Papistan signing off. Thanks again.